This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. Today marks the 25th episode of the Create at State podcast. And for this week's episode, we're going to review back through some of the projects we've highlighted in this series of research interviews. The Create at State podcast formed as a partnership between A-State Connections and Create at State to feature the collaborative work between faculty and students. Executive Director of Research and Technology Transfer at Arkansas State University, Emily Devereaux, comments about the importance of Create at State at Arkansas State University.
Faculty-mentored research and creativity with students provides a benefit to both faculty and students where they learn from each other. A-State is all about excellence in research and teaching, and research and creativity provides an avenue for faculty and students to learn from each other.
How is Create at State different and unique from other things that other universities may be doing, if you don't mind, please?
Well, Create at State is, like I said, the development platform for student research and creativity, and we've always had a symposium in the spring, but how we've incorporated, since we've grown with advancement through this partnership, we're able to incorporate community engagement, stakeholder and alumni engagement throughout the year with our students and our faculty. It's really important to A-State that we have that engagement aspect, because that's what research and creativity truly is about in the university and serving our community. And through the year, part of Create at State is the opportunity for students to become involved in faculty-mentored research and creativity through programs such as Student Research Council, Student Research Ambassadors. We also have mentored workshops for both faculty and students for written communications and oral communications that are tailored to their disciplines. We actually do a large co-curricular assessment of those events so that we know that the students are gaining maximum impact and the student learning outcomes. And we've actually seen an increase in our students' written communication skills, and also the need for the opportunity for students to be able to present to more diverse audiences.
The partnerships that are formed through Create at State allow for those connections between Arkansas State and the region through collaborative research projects. The amount of research at Arkansas State has been recognized nationally, as the Carnegie Classification of Institutions of Higher Education has elevated A-State to the category of doctoral universities, high research activity. Interim Associate Vice Chancellor of Research and Interim Executive Director of the Arkansas Biosciences Institute at Arkansas State University, Dr. Tom Risch, talks about how this will benefit students.
There's great reasons why students should go to a research institution. You get opportunities that you don't get at smaller institutions. It might not be right for each and every student, but that students that are interested in this get all sorts of exposure to leading experts in their fields. So there's this stereotype about professors that are interested in research not caring about teaching. Most of the times, nothing can be farther from the truth. You take a look at our institution that's emerged as a research institution. That means we have faculty that have been going the extra mile, have been doing this research above and beyond their teaching. Initially, it wasn't credited for anything, but they did it because they were passionate. And these are passionate people that bring that same passion into the classroom. Students will have those people on a daily basis in their classrooms learning from them. These same people, these same researchers, are reading the literature daily because they're keeping abreast of their field. So they can be teaching in their classroom what hit the literature that morning. So students are literally up to date on what's going on with their research. There's a tremendous energy that can come with research. So when a faculty makes a breakthrough in their research program, when I go into their office, they'll spin their monitor around and go, look at this, look at this, look at this. And then they'll bring that same excitement and enthusiasm into the classroom. Those are the professors you want if you're a student. There's no doubt about it. There's some obvious things that students can get from this, too. They get exposures to internships and research opportunities in people's labs.
One key example of what Dr. Risch was talking about by way of that kind of professor is Dr. Xuxin Wang, who's a professor of computer science at Arkansas State University, who was named as a 2019 Arkansas Research Alliance Fellow. Tell us about how that felt to know that you were going to receive this honor.
Oh, thank you. And when I was informed, I feel really honored. And the Arkansas Research Alliance is to support researchers for research innovation, research collaboration, which will have a direct impact, especially economic and societal impact. So that I think that's a great honor.
Now, there's been a lot of interesting research projects in several different areas we featured on the Created State podcast. One of the first episodes featured rice research conducted by Dr. Aurelia Lawrence and student Lucia Acosta about rice research that's part of a major project with the National Science Foundation. Dr. Lawrence says the goal is to make rice varieties more tolerant to stresses.
So why is studying stress in plants relevant? Basically because we need to eat. So we are a planet that is growing in population. The amount of land we have available to grow our crops is not growing, is decreasing. And the only way to solve the challenge of keep producing enough food for everybody is to make our crops more productive. Increase the yields, but in a sustainable way, in a way that the environment that we have and this land that we have accessible to us to keep growing our crops, that we maintain that. So we and many other scientists in the world are focused on this issue. How can we make or help plants become more tolerant to all of these stresses that they experience?
Now, staying with agricultural research, Assistant Professor of Digital Design at Arkansas State, Joe Ford, has been working with students on developing a mobile app on devices to help farmers when it comes to burning rice fields. Student Lexi Herring talked about how it was trying to develop an app for a mobile device.
There's so much more research that goes into it than you'd ever think. Like, I built the first round of it, and then I looked, without doing any research, and I looked at it, and I'm like, what is wrong with this? There's just so many little bitty things that are just off. And you slowly realize, oh, that's too big. That's 20 pixels too big. Oh, okay. Oh, well, that can't be that color. You'll never be able to see it. And it's just like learning the little bitty nuances that can really ruin an app. It was really weird and fun to figure out. It's a fun problem. Like I would look at it and then I would leave it for a little while and forget what it looked like and come back and I'm like, oh, obviously that's way too big. Of course, like no one ever needs it to be that too big. You keep that big, you can't fit it on the screen. Like why would you ever do that? And so, just the things that you just kind of take for granted when you look at your phone every single day, you think, oh, that's easy. I could make an app, no problem. And then you start doing it and like, oh, this is really hard.
Water conservation is important in farming. And Dr. Jennifer Bolden and graduate students Emma Martin and Amber Spence talked about research focusing on quality and runoff water from the fields into agricultural ditches. Amber Spence talks about the connections that she's made while conducting research.
Whenever you're doing field research, it is always an adventure and a surprise because every time you go out to your fields, you never know what you're going to find in these ditches based on the weather patterns and other sort of activities that have been going on. Additionally, I was not expecting to have as much of an experience of talking with the farmers and the people in the area. They come up to you, they ask you what you're doing, what you're doing with the vials, what you're filtering, and you get to have a conversation about them and their land and the fields around the ditches, and you really get a great perspective of how they view these ditches, which I was not expecting to encounter as much as I do.
With that, I know it's an opportunity for them to kind of learn what you're doing, but also for you to learn kind of what they're doing as well.
Exactly. It's a really great just overview of the history of the land and what they're doing now and just how they view this system, which really helps you connect with them in a way to help further protect these systems and make sure that they're being monitored correctly and then remediated as necessary.
Now we'll go to the medical field, where that's another key area of research at Arkansas State University, where Arkansas State is working with St. Bernard's Medical Center to form a translational research lab. Now, this can lead to faster care of those patients at St. Bernard's. In one key example, resident of internal medicine at St. Bernard's, Dr. Mitch Herbert, says the lab is being used to help in faster reading of x-rays of lungs.
We're specifically looking at chest x-rays when a patient presents to the emergency room. Looking at the image by itself can lead us to about three different diagnoses that all carry different treatments. So hopefully with our counterparts over here at ASU, through machine learning, we'll be able to better initially diagnose the primary problem, be able to get patients the treatment that they need right off the bat, instead of exposing them to multiple different drugs that all, of course, carry different side effects.
And also another research project focused on cancer research. Assistant Professor of Chemistry Dr. Mohammed Alam and student Christina Okolo talk about how their work would synthesize new molecules to act as anti-cancer agents. Okolo tells about her role in the research.
Primarily, I do the reactions to create these organic molecules that we use to test against the cancer cell lines as well as the bacteria. So I start in the organic chemistry lab, do those reactions, and once we have enough, I will measure them out and get them to the right concentration that we need in order to do our testing at in the microbiology lab, in lab sciences, and as well as at ABI.
With doing all of this work and working with Dr. Alam on this, how has it helped you in that? How has it impacted you being able to work on this?
Right. So it's given me a lot of different experiences. It's helped me with my problem-solving skills as well as just getting confidence in how I'm learning and what I'm learning about. He's very good at wanting to teach us as well as giving us experience, and that's going to come in handy because I want to go to medical school. And so this experience is setting me up for my graduate degree.
Social work research is being conducted to help workers have a better understanding on transgender patients. Assistant Professor of Social Work at Arkansas State, Dr. Jody Long, has been leading student Christopher Russell on his research of the challenges that face transgender people and why this research is important. And this is Russell.
In doing research on these two individuals, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, I have found that a lot of what transgender activist groups now, the way that they structure their halfway houses, their shelters, is sort of based upon a blueprint of what they had started in the early 70s. So I would like for us to be able to talk about that and how they structured this resource-rich community. Because, whenever you think of transgender individuals, you don't think that they have so many resources in their environments because, like I said, they are highly marginalized in society. But through these resources, I think it's imperative to teach social workers how to tap into those resources.
There's another area of research that we've been focusing over the past several episodes at the Created State podcast, and that is how Arkansas State has been involved in trying to save endangered species of animals. A-State has been working to help save the American red wolf from extinction. Of course, Arkansas State University's mascot is the red wolf. Some work has been done through a student group called Red Wolves for Red Wolves, and they've been working with the Endangered Wolf Center in St. Louis in conservation efforts. President of the student club is Shane Goodling, and he tells how the work that he's been doing has impacted him in his choice for a future career.
It's opened my eyes to a lot of aspects within the field of conservation that I never really thought of and didn't think of all the interlying pieces, like with the SSP event, Species Survival Plan, this summer. There's a lot of aspects that go into trying to conserve an endangered species that I never thought of. And getting to be involved in this, not only do I get to see these opportunities, but it's helped me narrow down specifically what I want to do career-wise, which, I knew I wanted to do conservation, but I didn't think that I wanted to go into the actual education conservation of it and trying to do these outreach programs. And that's been the biggest benefit to me, is it showed me something I'm very passionate about and something, somewhere I can make a true difference and see it.
A key tool for saving the American red wolf is through education efforts. Instructor in the teacher education department, Sandra Hawkins, and students Jesse Martin and Kennedy Capps are developing a teaching tool about red wolves that can be used in classrooms in local schools. A tool's called a traveling suitcase, which contain original artifacts, lesson plans, books, and activities for use. Hawkins tells how the traveling suitcase started.
We determined how can we help in the conservation of the red wolves, and particularly since ASU's focus these days is on preservation and conservation of the red wolves, then this was a very timely topic. And we decided that every student had, every class also has to do a project that's associated with the readings, and ours just kind of evolved. It became what we call project-based learning experience in the teacher education program, and where this is a program where the students are engaged and they determine what they want to do, and I become the support element in that. For example, they decided that they wanted to do a traveling suitcase for educators. That was their project. And in that, this would be a project that would allow, it would be checked out through the ASU Museum, and educators in the area would have the opportunity to check out that information and take it to their classroom, to their schools, and teach their children in their classrooms, K through 6, about the endangered red wolves and what we can do to help with conservation.
Arkansas State University is also involved in another project in trying to save an endangered species of bats. Dr. Tom Risch and graduate student Heather Custer have been doing this research in parts of Arkansas, and Custer tells about how she's been involved in the research.
We have aerial and terrestrial tracking teams. So our aerial tracking teams will locate the bats from the ground or from the sky. And they will relay these coordinates to us, and I will find where they're at on the landscape, find how to get to those trees, and then we go on foot with radio telemetry equipment, and we track them to a roost tree.
Wow. So what is the goal of the research? What are you all trying to be able to track?
So what we are trying to do, we want to get to this roost tree, characterize the tree, so how large is it? What tree species is it? The canopy cover of the tree. So we're trying to see what Indiana bats are selecting for as they go along their migration path and also when they get to their summer habitat. One of the big questions we have is where are these maternity colonies that these female Indiana bats are going to and having their pups or their babies?
And as we take a look at other podcast episodes, other research involves students developing a new curriculum and presenting this new curriculum at a national conference in Texas. Professor of Middle-Level Education Dr. Dixie Keys developed a new curriculum to show the class, and then students Jennifer Reeves, Olivia Peeler, and Lindsay Hart developed their own curriculum from that model. Here's Dr. Keys as she tells more.
And so I created a text set that was had an origin in social justice and activism, and it had the poetry of Langston Hughes. It had the writing of James Weldon Johnson. And I started with more classic literature, and I did a timeline all the way through contemporary literature with Angie Thomas's recent novel, The Hate U Give. And the text set had multiple kinds of genres. It had music in it. It had informational pieces in it. Including rap songs and so forth, and all of this connected back to the themes that James Weldon Johnson and Langston Hughes wrote about. So I presented that to the class, and Lindsay and Jennifer and Olivia took one of the hook articles or photos or whatever they chose from my text set, and that was where they branched off and took their own pathway to develop their text set, which also each one had the theme of social justice and activism.
Associate Professor of Psychology Dr. Irina Kremshova and her students Leah Carver, Madeline Crittenden, Shelby Danielle, and Diana Hun talked about their research on mindfulness. They presented at a Hawaii International Conference on Education. Kremshova says that she was pleased with the work that the students did in that research.
Well, I already said that I enjoyed working with these particular students very much because I also like working with people, and there are some things that I'm strong in and some I'm weak. And, you know, we each bring to this project whatever we can bring. And so I wouldn't have been able to meet. There was a total of 8 hours that together all these students spent meeting with our participants. That's a lot of time that I wouldn't have been able to afford that much myself. So without their contribution, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But I really was interested in doing this study, well, as much as they were. Because we worked with just one or two students. Most of our participants were students, but not all. We worked with one or two people at the same time. And we really communicated the purposes of the study, what mindfulness is, how they can actually practice, why, what will possibly change in their life. And so I saw the results of this study as being very positive.
And we also talked about several different art projects that have been featured on the podcast over the past several episodes. Professor of Theory and Composition at A State's Department of Music, Dr. Tim Crist, and student Ty Crawford talk about different music styles. Dr. Crist encouraged Crawford to think about different music styles, kind of think outside the box, and Crawford definitely did, with his style of music that involves distorting audio files. In this cut, you'll be able to hear some examples of what Crawford did.
Whenever we create music digitally, we're creating an audio file, and you can do a ton of things to mess up that audio file. You can splice it up and chop it up into many different pieces and then like try to put it back together, and it'll sound really wonky. Things that you can mess with, like the buffer override, which will mess with like the latency of like the microphone or the input, which messes up like when the input signal comes in and all that stuff. There's just a ton of different things that you can do to just mess up the audio file itself and just kind of get these messed up weird tones. There's also something that you can do called circuit bending, which is where you take like maybe an old toy that makes like a sound, and you can just pop it open, mess with the wiring, and you can mess with that sound however you please, because there's a synthesizer in there, and you can mess with it and make it sound like completely messed up.
We had a couple of podcast interviews talking about art history. Assistant Professor of Art History, Dr. Catherine Baker, and students Madeline McMahon and Morgan Presley talked about bringing art practices of the past to present day. McMahon talks about how she's benefited from learning from Baker.
So Dr. Baker is very, very passionate about this, and I think that passion really like bleeds into her students, because it's something... History is something that young people especially can become very bored with. I hate to use that word. But when you're looking at something and somebody is connecting it to the modern world, or they're sharing a deeper part of the story than memorizing dates, you realize how connected with it you are. Like I said, we don't create in a vacuum, and it can be easy to feel like we do and we're not connected to this. You know, this art that was created even, you know, before written histories were made. But we're absolutely connected to it. And I think that's something that I've really gotten from Dr. Baker, is that realization.
And Morgan Presley tells about how her love of art has grown while in Dr. Baker's class at Arkansas State.
When I first heard art history, I was like, oh, great, history. I've never been really good at history. It's mostly because of the dates and the boring events that go on. But I actually love art history so much, and other people in my art ed degree, they're like, oh,
art history classes. You've got to take like four of them. I'm excited. Like, I'm generally excited to take art history classes. It's not like regular history. There are actually like images and symbols you can like connect to the actual period in time. And it's not like, oh, this person did this and this person did that and there's a war somewhere. But it's like you can see the depiction of war, the symbols at the time, and it's just not like regular history. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like I'm cramming it in my head half the time. I'm just able to learn it a lot easier. I'm genuinely excited to take more art history classes. Like, I feel like it has an everyday impact on my life. Like I said, the symbolism in paintings, you don't really think about them, but when you see them in everyday life, you're like, wait a second, that actually means something. They did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're able to make more connections. It's kind of like understanding a pop culture reference and something you see, and you're like, I get it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it feels like I'm being enriched, I guess, by art history. It feels like there's a culture that I never knew about, and it's coming back to me.
Another podcast episode featured research on Arkansas State's history using the digital humanities. Professor of History at Arkansas State University, Dr. Andrea Davis, and her students Jordan Carmer, Joseph Brown, and Molly Mason talked about how they're approaching learning about the past with today's digital technology. Dr. Davis says that she's blessed that Arkansas State is encouraging faculty and students to conduct research in new ways.
Since my first semester at Arkansas State University, when I started doing things in new ways, is they gave me the support to say, do it. We want to learn this way. We want to be engaged. And so they really have really pushed me and I think my whole department along in really developing this project and the digital humanities concentration program and imagining the kind of students who would be involved. In terms of this project, I'm really excited to see where they take it. We had a last semester, I had a great group of graduate students who dealt with difficult issues, including the integration of Arkansas State and some of the challenges around that, challenges related to the changing of the mascot and how that fit into sort of broader national debates about representation of indigenous peoples.
Another podcast episode featured Assistant Professor of History at Arkansas State University, Dr. Edward Salo, and graduate students Mikhail Kamlotsky and Pushpita Ashika, as they did research to try to get a Jewish cemetery and an African-American cemetery in Helena, West Helena, on the National Register of Historic Places. And Salo says that's challenging.
Actually, cemeteries are fairly hard to get listed on the National Register. The way they have the regulations is they don't want every cemetery out there to be historic, and you know, because everyone thinks every cemetery is important, and they're protected under different laws, but for a cemetery to be listed, it needs to be connected to the history of the community or an ethnic group. And these two cemeteries, we definitely feel, you know, are part of the rich history of Helena. The Jewish cemetery is currently the only remaining aspect of the Jewish community there that's still active. There was a synagogue, which is really nice downtown, but it closed several years ago and they donated the building to the city. So it's still there, but it's not being actively used for its original purpose. The cemetery is still being used for burials. So it's the only remaining place connected to the Jewish heritage of Helena, which went from fairly large to rather small now. So, you know, we think that's important. And then the African American cemetery, you know, speaks to the ideas of Jim Crow, where, you know, cemeteries were segregated. This was on the other side of the ridge from the white cemetery, but it's got a lot of important African American community leaders, blues musicians.
And it's Dr. Edward Salo. Also, we talked to some of those who've judged the Created State Symposium. Just a reminder that the symposium this year is April 15th through the 17th at Arkansas State University. And
can't, of course, do that symposium without the judges. One of those judges is Director of Strategic Planning at HITROL, Philip Poston.
Whether or not I know fully the topic that's being presented isn't necessarily the critical piece. It's more about, you know, were they prepared? How did they present? How comfortable were they? Did they command the room? Did they act like that they knew how to present the knowledge that they knew and that they've been researching? And so how did that come across? And this past year, when I say I was getting comfortable, I think the first year I was really focused more on just scoring the sheet and being in the room. Having had a year under my belt as a judge, this past year, afterwards, I engaged the students in some follow-up conversation and said, hey, are you willing to hear the good and the bad? Or not the bad, but the good and the what needs to improve. And it was nice to be able to sit down and say, you know what? These are the things that our employers are going to look for when you come in and interview for a job. And the reason why I feel like that is important to share is because as a Arkansas State alum, I want all of our students to present themselves as their best whenever they go and interview for a position.
Another judge for the Created States Symposium is senior accountant with Murphy Oil USA, John Bain, who says that he wishes that Created State was around when he was back in school, and he tells why.
Well, we pitch ideas in the business workplace on a regular basis when we see something that we can develop and refine. And these type of venues actually help students prepare themselves when they go out into the real world, whether it be being a salesperson one-on-one with a client, or they may be in a large corporate culture where there's something that's culturally been the norm for years, but they see a better way to do something, and they've got to be able to pitch it and pitch it effectively. This type of venue is something that can help develop those students so they can be better and more effective, and in turn, it's going to help them move up in the organization.
Jessica, what would you like to add on that?
I mean, what else is there to add? I mean, he definitely hits the nail on the head whenever it is an opportunity for these students to develop in ways that they may not necessarily get to develop in the classroom. You know, Created State is something that we want all of our students to be well prepared when they go into the workforce in order to pitch their ideas and, you know, really be able to sell an idea or, you know, showcase themselves in the best way. And Created State is definitely the way that these students can kind of get that foot in front of maybe some of the others to, you know, really be able to show their ideas.
And Jessica Blackburn is in that clip. She's a director of foundation and corporate engagement at Arkansas State University. Also, last week we heard from Kyla Owens, who's media relations manager at St. Bernard's Healthcare, and Jennifer Hanna, outreach coordinator at the Food Bank of Northeast Arkansas. They're both graduates of Arkansas State, and they are judges for the Created State Symposium. They tell about how Arkansas State University is making an impact in the region. You'll hear from Kyla first.
I think it's great. I am very, very proud of Arkansas State University. I'm proud of my degree from Arkansas State. I felt prepared when I graduated, and I just look back and see all the ways that the college has grown, the College of Communications, but also the university as a whole. And these kind of opportunities just help prepare students even more for what lies after, whether that's a career or grad school or whatever their course may be. I'm just proud of Arkansas State for offering these types of programs.
Very good. Jennifer?
I think it's really important. As a college student, I mean, that's your life for 3, 4, 5 years in my case, that you're immersed in this environment, and it can be very difficult to go into a job field and feel like you've just kind of been severed from what was your life for so many years. So I think it's really important in bridging that gap between students and, you know, their professional careers, you know, the world around them. I also think it's really great in getting students to kind of, you know, see, hey, Jonesboro has a lot to offer. You can be successful here. And it helps grow our community. It helps us keep some really special talent here in Jonesboro.
And that is an overview of our first 25 episodes of the Created State podcast. Just a reminder that CREATE Ed State Symposium takes place April 15th through the 17th, and that's at Arkansas State University. You can find more information on CREATE Ed State on our website, kasu.org, or also on astate.edu. Search for CREATE Ed State, and you get more information about the upcoming CREATE Ed State Symposium, and also get a look at what happened last year and take a look at this year as well. As we go into episode number 26 next week, I realize we have not even begun to scratch the surface of all the great research projects and collaborations that are taking place at Arkansas State, and I am so excited to be able to present all of these to you. To subscribe to the CREATE Ed State podcast, you can always go to iTunes or Google Play and search for CREATE Ed State. You can listen on demand at the NPR app. You can also subscribe at the CREATE Ed State page on kasu.org, where you can listen to all of those podcast episodes individually. When you subscribe, please leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show. We would love to be able to hear from you. Now, I would like to thank Emily Devereaux, Jessica Blackburn, and Dr. Tom Risch for their work, their help, and their support of the show. They do not know how much that means, and I definitely appreciate their help. So thank you, thank you, thank you guys so very much for that. This show is not possible without their tireless work and their help and support. Thank you so much for that. And also want to thank you, the listeners of KASU, and listeners to programs like the CREATE Ed State podcast. This is made possible by listeners like you who give financially to support programs on KASU. So thank you so much for listening. Well, join me next week for a new episode of A-State Connections and the CREATE Ed State podcast, Making Connections That Count. For KASU, I'm Jonathan Reeves.